This is a 12-inch vinyl record, where we made one side on the Atari and the other side on the Commodore 64. This is from the Commodore side of the record. And I always like to play this first in my left hand because that's me. Idea, right? Okay, I think it's in here. Just give me a sec. This is one I made. Somebody asked me to DJ a party. I don't DJ, and it was like a couple years ago, and it was when iPod DJing was really like all the culture magazines were writing about it. So I made a version of the iPod that ran on the Nintendo. Mode, you see? You know, I could like break stuff down. Thank you. I mean, that's not a good example for the theme of the lecture, because that only works at parties. So, while making that, the record that I just showed you, one of the guys in the group, Paul, discovered that the Nintendo Entertainment System, you know, which is the first generation of Nintendo game console, had the same insides as the Atari and Commodore. So what it means is, once we learned how to program the Atari and Commodore, it means we also could program the Nintendo Entertainment System. And so then, at that point, I started making, I kind of had a eureka moment, because I always love to make video. And the eureka moment was, you know, holy shit, I could take apart old video games and make really, really strange videos out of them, you know? And this was basically what I ended up doing for the next 3 or 4 years. And so basically, well, this project, I think, is a good example. So all I did was I took the game Super Mario Brothers, right? And I took out the chip that runs the game, and I replaced it with a new chip that all it did was scroll the clouds from the game across. So it's a cartridge that when you put it into the actual Nintendo, it just plays this video. That's it. You know what I mean? So
we're watching a blue sky with clouds.
Yeah, I mean, that's it. It's pretty dry. It's pretty tough in person, right? And then I put this tutorial, and I was like, here's how to make it, you know what I mean? So this is all the source code and kind of an explanation of why I made it and how I made it. Blobbity blobbity. This is all the code, and then here's the kind of part where it's like, this is, you have to get a Nintendo thing and then cut this off and do this. You know, you kind of have to take the chip off and program a new one and solder it on. But basically, it's like, look, if you follow these instructions, you get to have the same thing at home. And yeah, right? And that I do that with most of my work, or I do that with almost all of my work. Here's the important part, the part I also put in these kind of threats. See, like, you mess with the best, you die like the rest. And punks jump up to get beat down. that actually comes out of early Commodore 64 cracker culture. Does anybody know about that? Maybe we should take a little side dive into that for a sec? Okay. This is what always happens. Commodore 64. In America, people had the Commodore or the Atari, or some people had Apples, blah, blah, blah. Everyone had different computers, right? So it was a big mess. But in Europe, for some reason, everybody had a Commodore 64, which means everybody had the same platform, which means that everyone could trade files, you know what I mean? And then, of course, you had video games that came out for the Commodore 64. And what does everyone do even today as soon as, you know, they have to pay for something on a computer? Well, they steal it, right? So what kids in Europe started to do, and I think I have, hold on, let me find it. Low-level all-stars. Okay. So the kids in Europe banded into these gangs, right? And what these gangs would do is they would take the game and they would crack it, which means they would remove the copyright protection. But then, not only would they do that, they would put this kind of introduction on that was this kind of like animated showcase of their programming skills, you know? And so this is a project I did with my friend Alex, who's the Radical Software Group, a couple years ago, where we found just amazing examples of this stuff. So let me show you some really good ones. So for example, here are some of the names. Like, you have a group called NATO. You have one called RAD, which stood for Rowdy American Distributors. Let's see, which one? Okay, here's one. We'll show you a group called Avant-Garde. And this is just a clip. I hope this works. Who knows what format this is in? Oh, okay, good. So you got the game Mayhem and Monsterland, right? And you would put it in, and then it would show this, which is basically Avant-Garde. Like, bragging. So on the bottom, they're thanking all their friends. Here, let me show you one where someone actually straight disses somebody else. Maybe this will show it, I don't know. Oh yeah, this is, okay, so I don't know if, see in the bottom it says, in the secret wells of emotion buried deep in our hearts. What? What is that? What is, Eaglesoft Incorporated is number one. Bencore Brothers, their competition, number whatever, right? So that's kind of an example of this kind of like gang warfare that was going on in the Commodore 64 underground in the late 80s. Pretty cool, right? I made a work that I was like, this work is a turning point in my life. This is the greatest work I've ever made. It's only been shown once, and the only time I showed it in a gallery was a total failure. You know what I mean? So I'll never show it in a gallery again. But I found out, conversely, I did a stand-up comedy night in New York, and it was like, that is where this work belongs, you know? So this is a work called Old Friends that I made. Now, as you can tell, I'm really interested in appropriation, and I'm always trying to push the boundaries of appropriation art. And around the time I made Saint Simon, I was getting into this thing where I was like, what's the least amount that I can change in something and still call it my own, you know what I mean? And I was obsessed with this idea of making a video where I didn't change anything in the video. And I've got this to show, and I have a new one I made, too. And so basically what I did here, and this also addressed my concerns about editing, basically I took the Simon Garfunkel Live in Central Park, a DVD, and I hacked it, and basically all I did was change the chapter markers, you know? Because that's basically one of the few things you can change on a DVD. Chapter markers are, if you press forward, it will jump to the next song, right? So I basically took all the chapter markers and placed them at points where you could see that Simon and Garfunkel totally hate each other, you know? That is the only difference between this. So if I actually, I think, well anyway, believe me, but the FBI menu still comes up everything. So let me just play a little bit for you. So this doesn't work in a gallery, right? Because you just put a DVD in there, it looks just like the original concert, right? And you can't ask people to people, that's too much. This work only works in a lecture or stand-up comedy, or I have in a PDF on my website elaborate instructions on how to recreate this. But it's actually really not very easy. Okay, so let's get into it. That's what my stick is for. Alright, so I'm gonna skip to the first one. I don't know where I'm going. Here's what you have to watch. This is all very subtle, but Garfunkel, he kind of points off stage to somebody, his mother, I don't know. And then what you have to watch is you have to watch the look Paul Simon gives him. Okay? Let's go, here we go. I don't know where I'm going, I'm on my way. Alright, very cool. Take all my time, but I don't know where. Alright, it's subtle. But if you know. I'm just saying, believe me. All right. So the way I interpret this whole situation is, Garfunkel was like, I want to sing it this way, man, right? And Paul Simon was like, whatever. And so what happens here is Garfunkel goes in for one last. He's like, can we please play it my way? And then watch the way Paul Simon tells him no. But what Paul Simon does is he kind of like, he doesn't just say no, he smirks. He's like, watch, just watch. He's like, all right, dude, let's try it my way, man. Please, watch this. Ah. Right? Right? Slip sliding away. Slip sliding. All right, this is what happens here is Garfunkel is supposed to, they're supposed to sing together for a little bit. Garfunkel is supposed to quit after a little while. And he forgets, and he absolutely sings. Watch, so watch, Garfunkel will fuck up, and then look, you're gonna watch what the little look Paul Simon gives. And my story is seldom told. I've squandered my resistance. One more time, it's tough. Poor boy, it's tough. My story is seldom told. Right. I've squandered. Up. Look at this. I've squandered my resistance. Look at, okay. And look at Garfunkel. He's just like. All right. This is the most. This is the last one. It's the last. There's only four chapter markers. This is about body language, okay? And then what happens now is the way I interpret it, you have to remember this is in front of a million people. Paul Simon goes in for the hug, right? And then Garfunkel responds with a few levels down, pat on the back. Watch. All right, let's hug. Uh-oh. Okay, so well, that's the work, that's the artwork. I don't know what to do with that one. That one's tough, right? But I was like, I've finally done it. I finally made a video, or I didn't make any video. Anyway, let me show you one thing that I just made. That was in my show in New York. Called Untitled Translation Exercise. This is a collaboration I did with a guy named Benjamin Jones. Basically, this is a 100-minute movie, and what I did was I took this script for the movie Dazed and Confused. Do you all know that movie? It came out in the 90s. And I sent the script to India to an outsourcing company. And I had them record all the parts. I sent a cassette tape recorder also, like Radio Shack style. And I had them record all the parts and send me back all the recordings. And then I painstakingly, with the help of some assistants, replaced every word back into the original movie. And so, this is basically just the exact same thing as the original, except it's been overdubbed back into English.
I'm heading this way.
Oh.
Later.
So, what have you decided?
About what?
About tonight.
Look, I'll probably get, you know, hung up with the guys, maybe, you know, later. Why don't we just, you know, meet at a party?
Okay.
Wouldn't want you waiting around for me all night anyway.
All right, whatever.
Cool. See you later.
Bye.
I don't have time to show you all 100 minutes, but believe me, you, in about 5 minutes, you'll all stop laughing. You'll be like, oh my god. It's totally...
It's Slater's mom.
Hey, mom. How's it going? Fixing to be a lot better, man. What time is your party tonight, man?
9:30, man.
9:30? Okay. I'll be there, man.
See you later, alligator. Wait.
I got to cruise by this afternoon and run a little business, if you know what I'm talking about. So...
That's what you're talking about.
That's what I'm talking about, man. Oh, man, I'm fucking wasted.
I mean, it's a real endurance piece, you know, and I know my work has a lot of humor in it, but there are kind of issues behind it, especially in that piece. My God, that's like a serious globalization piece. I mean, that's not a joke, you know what I mean? And so after 5 minutes, it basically hits you that it's not a joke.
What did it cost to have the entire thing re-recorded by Indians?
Oh, $190.